This is Bible Basics, Study 3, The Promises of God. This is 3.1, Introduction. At this point in our studies, we've reached a broad understanding of who God is and how he works. In doing so, we've cleared up a number of common misunderstandings about these things. Now, we want to look more positively at the things which God has promised to them that love him. That's James 1 verse 12, 2 verse 5, by keeping his commandments, John 14, 15. If we open the New Testament, the first book we read is a transcript of the gospel message as preached by Matthew. He starts off in the very first verse by introducing Jesus Christ as the son of David and the son of Abraham, and then gives a genealogy to prove this. Luke does similarly. This may seem odd at first reading. The point is, these early believers recognised that the fulfilment of the promises to Abraham and David through Christ Jesus is the basis of the Christian message. Paul preached likewise. The gospel is centred in the promises, Galatians 3 verse 8. Paul taught the good tidings, the gospel, of the promise made unto the Jewish fathers, Acts 13, 32. The promises of God in the Old Testament comprise the true Christian hope. When on trial for his life, Paul spoke of the future reward for which he was prepared to lose all things. Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, the hope of Israel, for which hope's sake I am accused. Acts 26 verses 6 and 7. He'd spent much of his life preaching glad tidings, the gospel, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled in that he has raised up Jesus. Acts 13, 32 and 33. Paul explained that belief in those promises gave hope of resurrection from the dead. Acts 26 verses 6 to 8 and compare 23 verse 8. A knowledge of the second coming of Jesus in judgment and of the coming of the kingdom of God. Acts 24, 25 and 28, 20 and 31. It must be understood at the outset that the true Christian hope is the hope of Israel. God sent his son to save the Jews first and foremost. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Yet God is not willing that any should perish, and by his grace the Gentiles may share in the promise of salvation also. All this sinks the myth that the Old Testament is merely a rambling history of Israel, which doesn't speak of eternal life. To understand the promises of salvation explained there is to understand the Christian gospel. God did not suddenly decide 2,000 years ago that he would offer us eternal life through Jesus. That purpose was with him from the beginning. The hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested this word concerning it through preaching. That's Titus 1 verses 2 and 3. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That's 1 John 1 verse 2. Seeing that God's purpose of giving his people eternal life was with him from the beginning, it is unlikely that he would remain silent about it during the 4,000 years of his dealings with men recorded in the Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament is full of prophecies and promises which give more detail of this hope which God has prepared for his people. It's because of this that an understanding of God's promises to the Jewish fathers is vital for our salvation. Paul reminded the believers in Ephesus that before they knew these things, they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That's Ephesians 2 verse 12. Although doubtless they had thought that their previous pagan beliefs did give them some hope and knowledge of God. But this is the seriousness of not knowing the promises of God. In reality, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember how Paul defined the Christian hope as the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Acts 26, verse 6. It's a sad fact that few place the emphasis on these parts of the Old Testament that they should. Some parts of Christianity have degenerated into a solely New Testament religion. Jesus clearly puts the emphasis the right way round. Jesus says, Luke 16, verse 31, if they hear not Moses, that is, the first five books of the Bible which he wrote, and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. The natural mind might reason that believing in the resurrection of Jesus is enough. Compare Luke 16, verse 30. But Jesus said that without a solid understanding of the wider issues surrounding it, this would not be fully possible. The disciples' collapse of faith after the crucifixion was traced to Jesus, to their lack of careful attention to the Old Testament. He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24, that 25 to 27. Note his emphasis on how the entire Old Testament spoke of him. It was not that the disciples had never heard or read the words of the Old Testament, but they'd not properly understood them. And therefore, they couldn't truly believe them. So a correct understanding of God's word, rather than just reading it, is necessary to develop a true faith. The Jews were fanatical in their reading of the Old Testament, Acts 15, 21, but because they didn't understand its reference to the things of Jesus and his gospel, they didn't really believe it. And so Jesus told them, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? John 5, verses 46 and 47. Despite all their Bible reading, they were just not seeing the real message about Jesus. Although they liked to think they were assured of salvation, Jesus had to tell them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. John 5, 39. And so it can be with many people who have an outlined knowledge of some incidents and teachings of the Old Testament. It's just knowledge, which they've picked up incidentally. The wonderful message of Christ and the gospel of God's kingdom still eludes them. It's the purpose of this study to take you out of that position by demonstrating the real meaning of the main promises of the Old Testament. We're going to look in the Garden of Eden. We're going to look at the promises made to Noah, the promises made to Abraham, the promises made to David. Information about them is found in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy, which were written by Moses, and in the Old Testament prophets. All the elements of the Christian gospel are found here. Paul explained that his preaching of this gospel said none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, and that he should rise from the dead, and that he should show light unto the people. The hope of Paul, that supreme Christian, should be the hope which motivates us also. As it was the glorious light at the end of the tunnel of his life, so it should be for every serious Christian. Fired with this motivation, we can now search the scriptures.